world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Excuse me, scrambling a little bit today. Actually, a little bit uptight today. Technical issues. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, if you know what I'm talking about. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to be where. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's coming down. Something going down around here, folks. Something going down. Anyway, thanks for getting up and joining us here this morning. Got a lot going on, a lot of stuff that I want to share with you. And then I just want to kind of open it up, maybe some give and take a little bit about what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C. with, the whatever they called that event. Seemed to be a glorious event. A lot of great speakers, a lot of stuff like that. But it's like everything else I try to say. Okay, boys, can we take it to the field? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Judd, you out, or not Judd, I get my head where. Brett, you out there? Ohio Brett, you out there? Because maybe you can explain to everybody what it means to take it to the field. Take it to the field. Hey, folks, you can go to church every Sunday and hear a great sermon, but at the end of the sermon, you got to take it to the field. Take it to the field. In other words, what? What you learned on Sunday, how about applying? Take it to the field. Take it to the field. So I watched it. I always do it with a critical eye. Can I tell you, just it's kind of the way that I am, because when a football play doesn't work, there's a reason why. And I can put a football game film on, and there are 22 players out on the football field, and I'm looking for what doesn't look right. Everybody's got a position. Everybody's got something they're supposed to do. Everybody knows who they're supposed to block. When you put the game film on, we say the eye in the sky does not lie. When you look at the play and you've tried to figure out why the play didn't work, there are 11 guys on your team. You look at those 11 guys, why didn't it work? Well, that guy didn't do this and that guy didn't do that. That's why they played. It was a great call. They didn't block it right. They didn't do it right, right? So we've just had a tremendous anointing, whatever you want to call it, in Washington, D.C. Yeah, you're looking at me. We got to take it to the field. We got to take it to the field. Folks, you just can't pray to the Lord that he would do something and then you not do anything. You not do anything about it. One of the things I was thinking about, and I'm going to get, just bear with me here a second. One of the things I was thinking about, all those people, Spencer, let me see, do I have it up there? Yeah, it says live rededicate 250. I'm going to work backwards a little bit here. I got to get this out. I didn't number them today, man. I've been stressed here. Live rededicate 250 National Prayer Jubilee. Did you get that, Spence? Probably not. Wow. Something going on in my email. So here's what I'm saying. All those people gathered on the I don't even know where they on the. I don't know where they were because we. I didn't stay for. We were in there on Saturday. We didn't stay yesterday. But this event on the. There it is. Okay. Pre-dedicate 250 celebrating prayer, praise, and Thanksgiving, Washington D.C. And this video is available, and I'll put it in the chat. The entire thing is there. How many hours? Nine. Put what's the timing on that thing, brother? 9 hours, 31 minutes, and 53 seconds. Pardon me. Talking. Now, I'm glad they did it. I'm not criticizing that. I'm glad they did it. And they brought in all these other guys, prominent pastors, and they prayed and brought in another prominent pastor, and he prayed and brought another one and prayed and got another one and he prayed. And still half of our church, half of our Christians, the vote split in our churches. We're not even on the same team. We could act like we do. We can come together. I wonder about this. Raise your hand right now, if you're watching here right now, and your pastor spoke about this yesterday. Go ahead and raise your hand. I'll watch. What the hell's going on? Why would they, why, is there anybody out there, any church-going person out there, any pastor out there that would somehow think that it's political to pray for the restoration of our nation? How could anybody think that way? How could anybody think that way? But they do, see. They have politicized everything. And so I'm an analyst. I'm not griping and moaning. So yesterday, for 9 hours, they brought in probably every denomination you could ever think of to get their say. Because why? It's like we don't even serve the same God. My God is Baptist. My God is Lutheran. My God is Presbyterian. My God is name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. My God is Catholic. My God is you with me? You with me? We can't even be unified. There should have been one guy standing there praying for all of us. I mean, I'm glad they did. I'm not being critical. All those people that came, all these different denominations. Wow, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. So from my standpoint, I did not watch it. It was a glorious, glorious thing. Oh, man. Raise your hand if you want me to say what I'm thinking. Anybody else want me to say what I'm thinking? Go ahead and put that picture back up here, Spencer. I'm going to say what I'm thinking. Why do you have to wear uniforms? Why do pastors have to wear uniforms? Why they wear uniforms, different uniforms, each one significant to that faith. He's got a uniform on, go to the next guy. You got a uniform on, get some of those priests back there with uniforms on. I'm telling you what, it's just, folks, we're in a spiritual war. It's spiritual. It ain't uniforms. It ain't what kind of garb I'm wearing. Look at that. What? Is he holier than me? Is he more righteous than me? How come I don't? Oh, I guess I got a hat. I wear a Coach Dave Live hat. No matter what we do, we can't get away from the divisions. We can't get away from them. So we want to bring in this guy, let him pray for his group, and this guy 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 prays for him. You know what I'd like to have seen myself? That wouldn't take long. I'd like to have seen the President of the United States go before everybody and get down on his knees and call out for the whole nation, the President of the United States, Father, come, Father, come. That's what I would, you know, I'm not, it sounds like I'm being critical. I'm just trying to show you folks, you can't win in 82 different huddles. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But thank God for the prayer of repentance, and they did it, and praise the Lord, invited Jesus back into America, and most churches didn't even talk about it yesterday. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Most churches did. The churches couldn't even get together and pray for our country because they've divided us so much on politics. Yeah. Yeah. We should be praying for President Trump, whether good or whether bad. Hey, Lord, if he's a scoundrel, get him out of there. Whatever. We ought to be praying for him. But we're not. Okay, I don't want to get bogged down on that. Let me make an apology here real quickly. I'm having serious email issues, and I don't know what it is. And some of you maybe have been sending me emails and say, well, he doesn't even get back to me. I'm telling you, I don't get them. I'm just not getting them. So Jared and our crew's working on trying to figure out what the heck's going on, and we'll get to the bottom of it. My phone just went off. Hang on there a second. Let me see who that is. I can't look at it right now. We're all good on that? Let me go back to where I wanted to start here. Because I had a great weekend. We went to the event, the Save America rally in D.C. Michelle and I went, and it was good. It was great to first of all go with my wife along, get her away from here. And, you know, thank God we stayed at Craig's. I want to just tip my cap to Craig and his wife Pam, and we slept in their camper outside out of Craig's house. And Craig's an amazing guy, I'm telling you. Craig, I'm going to have you come on and tell the story of your daughter That's an unbelievable story. His daughter was born with some handicapping issues, operated on by Dr. Ben Carson, believe it or not. It's an unbelievable story to think what Craig and his wife have walked through and continue to walk through, and what a warrior he is for the Lord is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm going to get him in here and talk about some of that today. I was supposed to be reading. Let me back up. Steve Deck. I don't know if there's a more faithful guy than old Steve Deck. Steve came to Craig's. I saw him yesterday at Craig's, and then Steve went downtown. Went downtown and was part of the event that took place downtown. Michelle and I headed home. We had to get back. Just got a lot going on. A lot of balls in the air. Ohio Amy did a great job with her Reawaken America tour. On and on. And I don't know how to say it to all of you out there. We appreciate what we're trying to do here at Coach Dave. We appreciate you more than you ever know. More than you ever know. And there ain't no Coach Dave without you guys. And we want to try to do everything we can to equip you and plant you wherever, help you bloom wherever you're planted. That's really my heart. That's my heart. My presentation on Saturday, of course, it was screwed up as always. I tried to take the people through maybe Spencer, maybe someday, maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll show the PowerPoint, not today, that I tried to show them of all the places we've gone and the things that we've done, staking up at St. Louis, staking up in Minnesota, down in the waters, the staking of the 12 federal court buildings, yada, yada, all the stuff that we've done. And I just want you all to know, folks, we're making a difference. We're making a difference. And as I tried to explain to people, look, folks, we're not in a political battle. We're not in a political battle. We're not in a political battle. The Republicans, from a spiritual standpoint, they may go to church, but they are so compromised. They are so compromised. The love of money is the root of all evil, and every damn one of those guys is about money, right? It's about money. My opinion, we need term limits. We need term limits. We need to keep money out of politics. I don't know how we would do it. I don't know how to do it. Craig says cumulative action of staking, prayer walking, decreeing. That's, folks, we're making a difference. I'll get you in here in a second, Craig. We're making a difference. We really are. And I just encourage all of you who continue to support what we do. Yeah, look, you can't talk about it without talking about money. You can't. So, I just appreciate all of you who faithfully are supporting us here financially. We're doing the best we can to help other people as well. For instance, God bless all of you. Pull up the link to Laura Ann. Pull that up there. You know, we did the GoFundMe, and they tried to raise $6,000. They've raised $5,000 already for Laura Ann. Now, let me explain this to you, okay? People say, well, first of all, I did not know that these bastards, pardon me, they take about 15% of the donation. These guys, this GoFundMe. I didn't know that. But I want to explain to you guys that when you donate here and the money goes, it all goes into the same pot. And I get emails from people, did my $100 go to her? I don't know. You understand? So I wanted specifically for this to be money that you knew went directly to Lorraine. Okay, that's the only reason I did it. As for just a paper trail for you. Took it out of our jurisdiction, but our control. And everybody who gave is listed right there. You can all see who it is. And can I say it again? Had nothing to do with Pass the Salt Ministries or Coach Dave Live. We simply helped him launch it. We supported it. And if you want to help her today, get back on her feet with her car, we've raised $5,000. But remember, bunch of it's going to GoFundMe. it's the way it works. Lorraine, are you out there? You want to come in and say anything, Lorraine? I'm just trying to do a little bit of housekeeping here this morning. I don't even know if she's in here. She's always in here.
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning. I want to thank everybody. I'm completely humbled for all the help to help me get back on my feet. And thank you, Coach Dave. And all the prayer, because I felt completely alone. and I don't anymore. It was going to help my daughter Hope and I a lot and help me to be able to sustain our living, because this completely threw me for a loop. So Amen. Thank you. And if anybody has any leads on a vehicle, I'd appreciate that. So, but thank you. And thank you.
We're not going to, okay, cool. Look, I learned a lot on this journey. I didn't want any of my money going to these either. So we'll figure out a way in the future. Bless you, Lorianne. Hey, you're carrying a load, man. I know you. I'm going to let all of you get in here in a second. I got a couple more things I want to say. First of all, we're supposed to be reading Psalm 78 today. Spencer, pull up Psalm 78. Folks, it's really, really long. It's really long. And it's good. But I don't want to spend all the time reading Psalm 78. I'd ask that all of you would just do that on your own today. Scroll down, Spence, show them how long it is. I love Psalm 78, by the way. Huh? But let's do this, Spencer. Let's do the first 15 verses of this. That's why I love Psalm 78. This is why, friends, this is why education of our children is so important. It's why the devil is after the education system. It's why the government's controlling the education system. It's why the government wants to teach transgenderism, homosex to your children, because the devil wants to destroy your children. They want to destroy your children. And to think that even in America, we are no longer one nation under God. That's almost like a crime to say that. One nation under God. And by the way, which God? Which the God? All of us, folks, all of us. We need to start using that J word again. That J word. Anybody out there know what that J word is? That J word?
That Jesus.
Jesus word. That Jesus word. Let's start calling him Jesus rather than God. Thank you, God. No, let's thank Jesus. Let's thank Jesus. Because there's many gods out there. Huh? Many gods. People serve a lot of gods. Huh? You said it'd be like saying, thank you, coach. Well, I would know you're talking about me because we're here. If you just talk to everybody else out there and you say something about coach, they don't know coaches. They know a coach, but they don't know you're talking about me, right? And so we talk to the demons. We talk to them. We tell them God and God. Which one? The Hindu one? The Muslim one? The Mormon one? Which God are you talking about, right? The name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. At the name of Jesus. We're supposed to say that word, but we just feel, I don't know. And my prayer is that Donald Trump will come out and say that word. Say that word. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tell you something. The Masons, they got a God too. And a lot of Masons are in the pulpits and they're not praying to Jesus, folks. They're praying to a different God. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm going to make you mad now. Okay, can I make you mad here a second? Franklin Graham did a wonderful prayer, and I never heard him mention the J word. Never heard him mention it one time. Because, see, we've bought into this multicultural lie. If I just say God, well, all those other religions, they'll agree with me. If I say Jesus, ooh, now I exclude. And, of course, we're inclusive here, isn't we? We're inclusive, so we serve all gods are the same here. We're inclusive. No. It's very specific. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Because he says, I'm going to open my mouth in a parable, which is a story. And I'm going to utter dark sayings of old. So I'm going to tell you where we came out of here. Thank you, Teresa. Franklin Graham mentioned Jesus yesterday. I'm going to utter these dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Time out. Are our fathers today telling them? Are our fathers today telling them about these parables? We'll not hide it from our children. Showing them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Not God, not just some generic God and his strength. Whose? That generic God? No, Jesus. and Jesus' wonderful works that he hath done. Understand, Old Testament before Jesus, okay? Old Testament before Jesus. We will not hide them from our children. Hide what? Hide what? We're not going to hide it from their children. Hide what? The wonderful things that the Lord has done, that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're not going to hide that from our children. We're not just going to say, God, 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 God. Which God? Christians know. Because we all go to church and we pray to God and it's the same God because we're in the Christian church. The lost guy outside, he don't know which God. He thinks he's God. We're not going to hide it from our children. Because we're going to show to the next generation the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. And there's a separation between the church and state. We don't even talk about it in our schools anymore. The marvelous thing God has done. You don't have to give me an amen. Because he established the testimony in Jacob. And then he appointed a law in Israel. And he commanded the daddies to teach their children. And we send them to public schools where they don't teach it to our children anymore. Vinny, give me, that's a boom, Vinny. Give me a boom, boom. He told us, teach it to our children. Make it known to our children. And we don't. We don't. Why? That in one generation, you're going to lose it. That the generation come, I know them. Tag team handoff. I teach my kids, they teach their kids. And even the children which should be born, who would arise and never declare to their children. We put them in public schools and act like there is no God. Boy, it's, hey. Why? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. God, 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 Jesus. This is Old Testament. And not be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their heart. Hey, folks, is the generation today setting their heart aright? Whose spirit is steadfast with God? No, because today's Christians, we're like the children of Ephraim. They're armed, carrying bows. They went to Washington, D.C. But they didn't go back home, battle to school boards and the city councils and the churches. Children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, they turned back. They didn't keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. That's us. That's America today. And yesterday, what went on in Washington, D.C. is hopefully a reawakening to Christians to get involved. Scroll down a little bit. I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
Huh? They forgot his works. And there's one. Who did? The generation to come. We did not teach it to the next generation. And so we're raising a generation of people who think there's a separation between church and state, that God is whatever you make God to be. There is no real God. It's God, 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 God. Come on, I'm doing pretty good here today. They didn't keep the covenant, and they refused to walk in his law. They said, let's cut off the dingers of little boys who want to be girls. Betty, would you find that in the law anywhere? Would that be anywhere in the law, castration of little boys, making them little girls? Would that be anywhere? Are they teaching that in the school? Are they teaching that transgenderism and homosex are grievous sins? Are they teaching that in school or in churches? No. No, they're not teaching that. They're teaching that Betty is wrong for criticizing it. Gino, if you're come opposing it, you're supposed to love it. Do you understand how they've turned it upside down, right? Because why? We haven't taught it to our children. We would teach it to their children. And it just amazes me that yesterday, when the President of the United States is calling for a National Day of Prayer, that they don't even talk about it in the pulpits. Don't even talk about it in the pulpits. God, 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 God. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. Who? God. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, how he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Tell the story about the parting of the Red Sea. Scroll down, Spencer. I decided I'm going to keep going here. Divide the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up as a heap. And then in the daytime, he led them with a cloud. And all the night with a light of fire, he clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave drink out of the stones. He brought streams out of the rocks. Are we teaching that to our children? Who will teach it to their children? The answer is no. We're teaching, if you send us $100, you'll get blessed. Come on, come on. And that you're not to judge anybody, and Jesus loves everybody, and keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Vote for whatever's best for your for your pocket. And they send that yet more against him, provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Well, we're in the wilderness, aren't we? Huh? We're provoking him in the Most High in the wilderness. Folks, there could have been a national turning yesterday. Let's pray there was a national turning. But how powerful would it have been for Donald Trump to stand before the world and say, Jesus Christ is king over America? Do you think Jesus would have liked to have been anointed king over America yesterday? Well, he already is. Do you think he would like to have been acknowledged that he is? Now, a lot of the preachers came, did it, but they came, and I mean, I'm not being critical. I'm being analytical, right? All of them praying to a different version of God. Rather than, Lord Jesus, forgive us. Come and fill our land. Lord, we repent. We're sorry. You wouldn't really have to say any more than that, would you? Do you guys think you have to beg Jesus? Do you think you have to beg him? How many of you, when you see one of your children suffering, even today, when my children are in their 40s, I see them suffer, it breaks my heart. And all they have to do is call me and I'll help them. Would everybody agree with that? Would everybody out there agree with me? I may be mad at them. I may say, yeah, you did it to yourself. Damn it. Why are you doing it? I may want to chastise them. I may want to hit them over the head with a broom. But the truth is, at the end of the day, I'll do anything for my children, as will you. Will Jesus do that for us? We have to beg him, please, 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 please. Do your kids have to do that to you? My grandkids yesterday, Grandpa, can we go for a golf cart ride? Can we go for a golf cart ride? I couldn't take him. I didn't have time to take him. I didn't have time. Do you know what I said? Listen, tomorrow, okay? I'll have more time tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do it. Okay, I can't do it right now, but we'll do it tomorrow. They didn't have to come by every 15 minutes. Grandpa, please, I'll say a prayer. Grandpa, take me for a ride. Grandpa, take a... He's yay and amen. Yay and amen. That's his word. What? Yay and amen. Yay and amen. By your faith, brothers. By your faith. Are we done? Pull that back up. I wasn't done yet. Thank you for letting me vent here today. I wasn't planning on doing it. And they sinned yet more, provoking the Most High in the wilderness. I got to ask a question. You think Joel Osteen is doing good work in Houston? He's in Houston, letting the government pay for all the sick people and all the poor people. Is that what, does God want Joel Osteen to, I'm just picking on Joel because he's a big name. Does he want him to build a bigger tent, bigger church? Is that what he wants him to do? Get a nicer band? Huh? I don't know. I think they're provoking him. And they tempted God in their heart. Look, hey, they tempted God in their heart by asking money for their lust. Somebody out there, give me a boom, be one of my friends. Eileen, give me a boom. Somebody, Joe Allen, give me a boom.
Boom.
What?
Boom. Huh? Boom.
They tempted God in their heart, asking for some stuff so they could fulfill their lust. Lord, send me some money here. Huh? Okay, yeah, I'll send you some money. Have you ever sent any money to help David Arthur? Well, no. No. I haven't done that. Oh, but you want some? Yay, they spake against God. They said, can God furnished a table in the wilderness? How's he going to feed us out here? Behold, he smote the rock. The waters gushed out. Scroll down, Spence. And the streams overflowed. Can God give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Hey, folks. You fed Lauren. God used you to feed Lauren. Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was so stinking mad. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger again came up against Israel because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them. Keep going, Spencer. To eat, he gave them food. He gave them water. He gave them rain. He gave them corn. Man did eat the angels' food. He sent them meat to the full, all they could have. Caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And his power he brought in from the south. He rained flesh upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of the camp round about their habitations. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. We serve a giving God. But that still didn't break them loose from their lust. Boy, this is deep, isn't it? It's just wanted more. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and he slew the fattest of them and smote down the children, chosen men of Israel. He fed them and then slaughtered them. So here you go, fat boy. Go ahead and eat. Stuff yourself, you pig. For all this, they still sinned. Believe not for his wondrous works. And therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. And when he slew them, who? When he slew them, then they sought him. Then they came back and said, hey, guy, what about this God? Huh? What about this God? What about this Jesus? They came back and inquired. And they remembered that God was their rock. And their high God, that their redeemer. They remembered that. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did used to teach me that in Sunday school. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right. And neither did they keep their end of the bargain. Wow. Keep going. But he, still being a daddy and loving his children, being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity. He didn't destroy them. Yea, many a time turned his anger away. He still didn't kill them with his wrath. For remember that they were but flesh, and wind that passeth away, cometh not again. Remember, man, you're destined to dust, you shall return. All those people who wasted their life on stuff. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Well, that's not a question. How often they did. Yeah, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They didn't remember what he had done. Or the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They didn't remember any of that stuff. We tried to yesterday, didn't we? It was a start yesterday. How he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. They turned the rivers into blood and their floods. And he says, you guys remember we did all that stuff? You guys remember when I did that? Remember when I did that? He sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase and let the caterpillars eat their increase, and their labors was eaten up by the locusts and turnpike fees, $35 to drive on the Pennsylvania Turnpike when I've already paid for it, my gasoline taxes. He destroyed their vines with hail, the sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger and his wrath and his indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Do you see that? You see that? He sent them. Who did? God. He sent evil angels among them. And he made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence. COVID. Smote all firstborn in Egypt and the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. He made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, his real people, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He brought him to the border of the sanctuary, even to his mountain, which is his right hand, that he had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before him. Who's he to judge? Who's he to judge? He cast out the heathen before him, divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God again. Still didn't keep his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully, just like their daddies. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. We didn't teach it to our children. We put them in the public schools. Let them teach atheism. Let the Supreme Court of the United States say God was illegal. But he turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. Turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven image. And God heard this. And he was really ticked off. and he greatly abhorred Israel. So they forsook the tabernacles of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the hands of the enemy. It gave his people over also unto the sword, because he was really ticked off with his children. The fire consumed the young men. The maidens were not given to marriage. No, they started having lesbian sex and sleeping around. Marriage didn't mean anything to them. The priests and the ministers fell by the sword, and the widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord wakened out of us as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacles of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah. Jesus. Jesus. Not Judaism. Jesus. The Mount of Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which he had established forever. He chose David as his servant and took him, pulled him out of those sheepfolds that they were in. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought them to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel's inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Can God do it again, folks? Can he do it again? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. Wow. I'm going to shut up for a minute. Hey, friends. Politics isn't the answer. Republican good, Democrat bad is a lie. It's a total, complete lie. And I'm going to tell you this. The people who are representing you in Washington, D.C., very few of them are representing you. It's just the reality of it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And here's the sad part. I'm going to tell you something. There were churches and Christians yesterday who refused to join in the prayer for our nation because they hate Trump so much. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Vinny, that would really be a boom. That would really be a boom. All right, come on in. I got a few more stuff. Look, tonight, Craig, this has been on. Craig's put together the most unbelievable thing, but we're going to read it sky high tonight. And then I'm going to read it tomorrow on the show. I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to do it tomorrow, show what Craig has written. And I want you to know that this spiritual war is very, very real, to the point that, as I said, I'm not getting your emails. So this morning, as I'm trying to get ready for the show, I'm emailing back and forth with Craig. And I don't get his emails. And he emails me another and tries a different email, and I don't get his email. He's trying to send me this as an attachment. And I don't get it. And I just send him an email without an attachment. And he gets it. Send me the attachment. He sends me an attachment. I don't get it. The email doesn't come through. Something's going on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. This is really, really good and really, really effective. And we're going to read it tomorrow. And I'm going to read it tonight. And we're going to declare it tonight at Sky High. We'd love for you, if you're close, come. Because why? Say, Coach Dave, why? Because I learned this again yesterday. Folks, you want a trip of the life? Drive through the Appalachian Mountains. Holy criminy. Oh, my goodness. We did. Michelle and I went to Appomattox Courthouse. I'm sorry, a courthouse. Appomattox Battlefield, Battle of Appomattox. And thank you, Michelle. Antietam. 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 The bloodiest battle of the Civil War. 4 days, Battle of Antietam. I went and stood there. What? 3 days. She's always correcting me. We're yin and yang. 3 days. The bloodiest war, battle of the Civil War. And you stood on that high ground and you looked at all the low ground and realized that men ran up that hill into gunfire, into cannonball blasts. What would compel a man to do that? And at the heart of that was division. The South hated the North. The South hated the North. Why? Why would they hate them so much that they'd run up into the top, run up a hill with people shooting at you? For what? 18-6 September 17, 2023. Thanks, Craig. You guys, remember when I talked about this? We went to the 12 circuit courts in America on the same day. You guys remember when we did that? We prayed those high places down. Look, I'm just rambling now. I'm just rambling. Just rambling. Come on in, David. Dave Allison. Come on in. Dave, I wish you could be here tonight to play the music. I wish you could be here, bro. Go ahead. I'm not asking you to get in your car and drive. Don't take it that way. I just wish you could be here.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, blessings for you, everyone, tonight. But, Coach, this psalm you just read is pretty profound. And if people can't see, if you can't read that and see what the psalmist was trying to tell people, that God chose, just like Paul Gosselin enlightened me a long time ago, what did God choose Israel for? Why were they his chosen people? He chose them to show mankind that he could give you every blessing. He could create miracles, do miraculous things, give you blessing upon blessing, abundance upon abundance, and you still will not follow him.
Amen.
You will break his laws. You'll break his covenant. If you can't see that that's what God used that whole history of Israel to show mankind, that without Jesus Christ, you are lost. You have
Amen.
No hope. And brother, listen, I'm not standing here sanctimonious. Even today, as we could tell, as we've stated, the fellowship still struggle to serve God, right?
Yep.
And we still let God down. He blesses us, and we still let him down. And we still, sometimes we don't keep that covenant, but we're thankful for the new covenant in Jesus Christ. It's by his blood and his blood alone I am saved. And so I thank the psalmist for reminding us that how God blessed Jacob and all of Israel, and they Amen. Still let him down repeatedly. But that was just pointing to the fact that we need Jesus Christ. And that's what God used Israel to show us, that without Jesus Christ, we're lost. Thanks for letting me share.
Dave, Jesus Christ is the unifying factor. Unifying factor. You want to find out something, my friends? When you run into somebody that you don't know, and you find out that they're a brother or sister in Christ, ask them this question: what religion are you? And they'll give you a denomination. Don't you see it? What religion are you? I'm Christian. No, that's not what I mean. See, they're trying to figure out if you believe like they believe. Because although we all say it's the word of God, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. It isn't true, friends. It isn't true. They don't all agree on what the Bible says. That's why we have 42,000 different denominations. Spencer, if you can, Spencer, can you do real quickly, a list of speakers yesterday? Friends, I'm an analyst, not being critical. I'm an analyst. What did they do yesterday? I think they made sure that they covered every denomination. We only needed one man to stand before America, one man for all God's people, and call out in repentance. But even in that event yesterday, we wanted to make sure our God was represented. Our God was. Our God. Huh? Here they are. There's speakers. Look at them. Robert Barron, Bishop, Secretary, Faith Leaders. Let's go there. Reverend Graham video message. Cardinal Dolan, Pastor Graham, Pastor Franklin, Rabbi Slavoj, Pastor Falwell, Pastor Pokluda, Pastor Detroit based. See, tell us what they do. Baptist Church, Cornerstone Chapel. Who the hell cares where they're from? Where they're from? Eric Metaxas, best-selling author. See, oh, I'm analyzing, I'm not critical. How about this? Sissy Graham Lynch, author and ministry leader with Samaritan's Purse. Really? Really? So thank God we did it. And I believe that the President of the United States, Craig, help me out here maybe. Look, we'll get into some of this more tomorrow. When the king speaks, whether you want to admit it or not, President Trump's our king. When our president declared a national day of prayer, it carries great significance. It's a prayer for all people, not all denominations. Betty, am I seeming overcritical? Folks, I'm not trying to be overcritical. I'm trying to expose again the division within the body of Christ and why we're not being more effectual. It's what God says, not our denomination, not what some famous pastor says. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Craig Mickle's prayer is just as powerful as Franklin Graham's. Randy Lunsford's prayer is just as powerful as Pope so-and-so. Are you guys with me on that? Are you with me on that? And no matter what, they always want to kind of point us back to these religious leaders, 42,000 different denominations. We just need one man to stand before the nation and say, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, please indwell our nation. What do you think, Mike Blake? Is any more than we need anything more than that, Mike? And would not have been good enough? We had to sit down a litany of 9 hours? How long did it go? Oh, boy. I'm making enemies this morning. It's open. 12 minutes. Come on in.
Well, do you think the Lord felt honored yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But he didn't need all the fluff. He didn't need all the fluff.
Even with the other religions praying, he still felt.
We should all just fall on our face and one person pray for all. That was what I think. Now, yeah, here's the
point. Did he feel special?
What pastor would you pick to do that? Oh, well, they'd be arguing, fighting amongst them, right? Mm-hmm. If the president of the United States, Donald Trump, knew how to pray, he should have stood and prayed for all of us. You agree with that, right? That would have been the most effective thing for the king to have done it. Instead, we got all the king's horses and all the king's men. And they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now, hey, thank God we did it. Praise God that the president said, everybody come together and pray. Thank God thousands of people showed up. But the truth remains, they didn't even talk about it in the American pulpits. Why? Because they hate Trump. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, just a few observations. Albeda King prayed and referenced repentance and Jesus and born again over and over. I'm telling you, it was amazing. And I detest her uncle, who brought in the Marxist gospel, but she put it right out there, right, absolutely engraved in stone, no fluff. And Trump read 2 Chronicles 7 on live. That was pretty impressive. But as my observation is, of all the pastors I know and all the pastors I see, most of them would have been friends of the king. They would not invite, they won't invite me in to even address their to tell people why I'm running for their district. They would have been friends of the king in the revolutionary times. They would have been loyalists to the king. They would not have stood the ground. And you mentioned earlier, Coach, not to correct, but you mentioned laws and term limits. It's not a term limits thing. No matter how many laws you pass, you're not going to get immoral people to obey laws. You can't pass a law to make people obey a law that they're already breaking. If we don't get really moral people in there, you're not going to correct the money thing until you get moral people in there that say, no, you can't bribe me. It's not going to happen. And the church is not going to back those people.
Jack, listen, Jack, we have people, some of them might be moral, but they've believed the lies of separation between the church and the state. And can I tell you what else? Follow the money. Follow the money. Follow the money. That's why term limits would really, really help. Because a guy could go in there for 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, give him whatever he wants to, and then he's not loyal to AIPAC anymore. You don't have to worry about getting reelected again, and maybe they would do the right thing. It's not just AIPAC. It's unions. It's the National Education Association. All of them are loyal to some special interest group, and they are voting that way because they don't want to tick off their donor base, in my opinion. Or not my not-so-humble opinion. 9 minutes. Somebody come on in. Are you mad at me because I'm pointing this out? Folks, we ought to, all of our churches, that's why we're kind of gathering together tonight. All of our churches ought to fall on our faces on Sunday. That should be the focus of everything on Sunday coming up. But they don't want to mix politics and religion because there might be some Democrats sitting in there. Well, women, some pro-choice people sitting in the church. That's why they don't want to mix religion and politics. Johnny!
Morning, Coach. Morning, everybody.
Am I doing okay, Johnny? Johnny, am I doing okay?
Coach, you always do okay. You do more than okay, Coach. You do great. I just wanted to say term limits, that's a great idea if we could do that, because when the rain drips down the line, eventually these guys hold office so long, they gain more and more momentum and more power. That's why all the elections are rigged.
Right.
You know, it starts off small. It's like a little snowball starts at the top of the hill. And the more it rolls down the hill, the more it gains more and more, more momentum. And then, you know where I'm going with that.
I do, Johnny. I do. And so, you know, they get locked in. Why would it be so hard to get, hey, the president has two terms. Why would it be so hard to get the Congress to have, what, two terms as a senator and what, four terms, 8 years as a representative, and then you're done, you're out of there? Why would that be so hard to do? So they want to establish a power base. We talked about the other day how long Mitch McConnell and those guys have been there. Real quickly, Spencer, how long has Mitch McConnell been in Congress? He can't, folks, they have to wheel him in a wheelchair now. He can't even walk up there. He has dementia. Mitch McConnell. The Senate, isn't he Senate Majority Leader? Isn't that what he is? How old is he? He's born in 1942. Mitch McConnell is how old? He's been in there 41 years.
He's 84.
He's 84 years. Anybody know any 84-year-olds that ought to be running our country? In your life, do you know of any 84-year-olds that ought to be running the country? We got a lot of them. It's crazy, isn't it? Go ahead, Dale. Come on in. Hey, Dale, by the way, I saw where you commented earlier. Folks, it's a start. Thank God for what happened in D.C. Let's build on it. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. Even when I read when King Solomon, when they rebuilt the temple, it wasn't until they brought out the word, they very brought out the word of the Lord, and they read it. It was like 2 or 3 days. Then the people's hearts were broken. It is a begin, man. Let me tell you what, I'm going to take that as a beginning, Coach. Man, I preached yesterday. The whole month I preach on the family stuff, right? This is yesterday. It was the children, Coach. So the I'm not going to take 84 and say, you know, I think that these people every single year, and you know, I don't think you got to get somebody out of D.C. that is a a medical person that can look at this guy and do an examination on him, because this guy is making votes that affect the whole nation. This guy, he is dementia 2.0. All of these people that are like that. Now, I've seen some 80. Look, my father-in-law is going to turn 90 next year, Coach. He is still a practicing attorney, and he is as sharp as a whip mentally. But when I look at someone like that, look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden wasn't even 80 years old. Dude, could you imagine Joe Biden at 84 years old?
Oh,
man, so and I'm not going to say it's per se the age, but I think there should be some mental capacity tests done every year on some of these older people. But I am all for term limits. If we're going to term limit the president, then we should term limit the House and we should term limit the Senate.
So Dale, if they talk about no kings, how long has this guy been in there? No kings?
Longer than any king I read in the Bible.
41 years old.
Listen, Coach, King David ruled for 40 years. This guy's ruled longer than 40 years. He's ruled longer than King David.
41 years.
And we spanked Bill Cassidy this weekend, Coach.
Yeah, I saw that, man. Your rhino. They got rid of a rhino down there in Dale's country. Is that good? A sitting rhino got beat in the primary. Wow. Jack, hey, we got 4 minutes left. Somebody jump in now for ever hold the peace.
Term limits. That's term limits. You get Dale, you just said it. That's term limits. The Black Robe Regiment is term limits. If the Black Robe Regiment said this guy is bad, put this guy in, it would happen automatically, instantly. But we don't, because the church is in it. So again, if you put in term limits, they're gonna figure out a way to manipulate it to their advantage and against us. We got to get good people. We got to get the church to support good people instead of just saying, oh, just follow the Christian Civic League's recommendations. Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. Amen. Randy, quickly.
Coach, tomorrow the Kentucky primary happens. And Thomas Massie, they've spent $20 million against him, AIPAC, Adelson, and all that. Even Trump, you know, I mean, why? Well, he's got a single-digit lead. It's really going to be really close. But, Coach, we need to pray specifically that Thomas Massie remains, because he is an honorable man.
Yes, he is.
And they need him in there as the standard right now. He kept – look, this is why we rededicated our nation. Coach.
Here's what I know, right? Here's what I know. Thomas Massie is a principled guy. I'm all for him. But look, sometimes, folks, you got to go along, right? But sometimes. And he's made himself an enemy to the Republican establishment, which is a good thing. But sometimes, man, you can't be against just everything. And that's really, he's kind of boxed himself in because he's principled. I get it. He's principled. I get it. And he gums things up. I get it. But when he gums things up that we're trying to advance, in my opinion, he's helping the other side. But I get it. He's a principled guy. I'm for him. We need him in there. Yeah. Yes. Well, a lot of stuff going on. So, hey, listen, let me wrap it up here. Let me wrap it. How much time? I just got a couple minutes here. So if you can make it tonight, we'd love to have it. We'd love to have you come. And it's going to be from 6:30. And again, Sky High is the first. We've got a cross at Sky High. I noticed that yesterday. First foothill, those Appalachian Mountains that I drove through yesterday. Man, oh, man, folks. Turn the heart of the children back to the Father and the heart of the Father back to the children. We're not going to try to dedicate Sky High. However I said that it was not what I wanted. It's first foothill. It's a starting spot. We're reclaiming America. Beginning at the foothill. Tonight, it's 6:30. Not going to be something fancy. Come, bring a guitar. Got a song you want to sing? Come. We're going to fellowship and we're going to pray. If you can make it. We're going to start it at 6:30 and we won't be long. We'll try to get you out of here. It'll be dark. Although you'll probably want to watch the beautiful sunset anyway. It'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful. And it's all good. Hey, I'm all for what happened yesterday. I'm just an analyst. Hey, take it to the field. See you tomorrow.